the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 27 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we're back with our March Madness brackets. We're going to go to our final two teams in our bracket challenge. Thank you very much for helping us out with our Sweet 16. We've had a lot of voters go to our website. We can't wait to finish this championship bracket. Also, tonight's show, we're going to talk a little bit Star Wars weekend news, because in this past week, there's been a lot of things announced. Definitely some really cool stuff coming up. Before we start, let's say hello to who's on the show tonight. Sam, how's it going?
Absolutely great. Can't wait to get this Sweet 16 down to two.
Well, it's great to hear you. Thanks for being on the show. Jimmy, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for asking.
Very good. Very good. And Tom, how about you?
I'm doing all right. I'm glad to be back.
Okay, excellent. Well, like I said, this week we're going to be doing our Sweet 16 down to our final two attractions. Before we do that, though, I just wanted to point out a new friend of the show, Shannon Skykes-Wright, and she has a new little sideline going where she makes magical memory lockets and charms. It really stood out to me because when I saw this posted on the Disney Nerds page on Facebook, it looks really cool because we actually got Leslie, my wife, this charm this Christmas, where you basically buy the individual charms to put inside of it, and it's a necklace, and I think they have it for bracelets too. But I thought it was pretty cool, and I just wanted to point that out. So if you have a chance, why don't you check out her site? And here we go, on with the show. Now, as I said in the beginning, we're going to talk a little bit about Star Wars weekends before we start. And with all our Star Wars weekends news, here's Sam. Take it away, Sam.
Thanks so much, Ed. So there is a lot that came out here in the past few weeks regarding Star Wars weekends 2014. We heard some rumblings and talked about it on a previous show, but some new things have come out since. We know that it's five weekends now, starting May 16th and wrapping up on June the 15th. One of the new first appearances, Mark Hamill, is going to be there for Star Wars Weekends number 4, June 6th through the 8th. So the original Luke Skywalker will be at Star Wars Weekends. That's his first appearance. I also checked in a little bit to the Fast Pass distribution and how they're going to do this. Because we know now everybody's using Magic Bands, so how do we schedule it? What do we do for Fast Passes? According to Disney's website, what you're going to do is show up before the opening of Hollywood Studios, just like had previously been done for celebrity autographs. But now what they're going to do is give you a wristband. That wristband will be good for any celebrity autographs, including Mark Hamill. So getting there early is going to be key, and I expect there to be a line awfully early for Mark Hamill, that's for sure.
Have they mentioned anything else that Mark's going to be doing?
He will participate in the celebrity motorcade and parade and sign autographs. Nothing else has been confirmed at this point.
Cool.
That's a pretty big deal for them, though, huh?
It's huge. This is his first appearance. So basically the motorcade starts the front of studios. Essentially, he'll be in the back of a convertible like all of the celebrities are that I've seen there before. There's a whole list if you go to Disney's website who will be there. It goes right down Hollywood Boulevard, sort of goes left towards Echo Lake, drops the celebrities off there, and that's where they sign autographs in the Echo Lake area.
No, very cool.
So Sam, let me ask you this, since I know you've been to a few of these and you stay up on what's going on with the Star Wars weekend. Next to Mark Hamill, who would have been the next closest as far as popularity for people who have been down there?
My first thought when Mark Hamill was appearing this year was that because Disney finalized the deal and now owns the Star Wars franchise, that it made it even more all right for him to actually attend one of these things.
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're spot on. Some of the others that have been there, Kenny Baker has been there in the past. George Lucas was there in 2011 when they launched Star Tours, The Adventure Continues. I don't think he stuck around for autographs, but he was there.
Right. I remember the stage show. I saw that. Yeah.
Yes. Billy Dee Williams was there last year. I saw him then.
He's doing Dancing with the Stars, I think I saw the other day.
I saw that, yes. And he had his Lando Calrissian outfit on.
Wow.
And there were stormtroopers that joined him.
I'm having issues with this.
Now, I'm looking at the list here, and one of the big ones that were there, Carrie Fisher was there in 2000, 2001. So she was there 2 years. Back when I believe they relaunched The Weeknd's, because The Weeknd's went away for a couple of years. So they've had some big names there, that's for sure. And the celebrities always get long lines. They do give one autograph per person. If you have something to get autographed, I'd look ahead if you're headed to Star Wars Weeknd's. You know, if Peter Mayhew is there, who's Chewbacca, how cool would it be to have a Star Wars figure in the package that he can autograph, which is really cool. I know I scrambled to find a picture of him to get autographed when I was down there 1 year. A couple of other new things at Star Wars Weeknd's. The Rebel Rendezvous is new this year. So when we last talked, we talked about Darth Maul and the special limited edition merchandise that you get at Star Wars Weekend and how it sells out so quickly. Well, Disney's capitalizing on this with the Rebel Rendezvous, which is a hard ticketed event which will allow you to gain access to that limited edition merchandise Thursday, May 15th, which is the day before Star Wars Weekends actually start. It's entrance into Darth Maul. You also get a limited edition recruitment pack that includes pins, a medal set, lanyards, cups, a whole bunch of other things. Here's the kicker there, though. The hard ticketed price for the event, $250 a person.
Oh, my gosh.
I just checked Disney's merchandise site, and you can still get a ticket.
Oh.
I just hope that bag has $250 worth of things in it. That was, wow.
That's a chunk of money.
It's a lot to go and buy things. We also talked about Hoopla and the fact that Hoopla may or may not be back. Well, we found out for sure that Hyperspace Hoopla is not coming back, which is bad news. Boo, I don't want to hear that. But they are replacing it with something called the Nightly Curtain Call. Now, no one's really sure exactly what that is, but it's something that will be on the stage every evening. I expect it to be with whoever the stars were for the night, and this will be right before the new Symphony in the Sky fireworks. So there will be fireworks nightly for Star Wars Weekend, which they did for Limited Time Magic, and May the 4th be with you, but they've not done it since. So that's kind of cool.
Cool.
Yeah, definitely. Can't wait for that.
Now, the last really cool addition, and this is where I want to get some of your feedback from, is the new Star Wars character breakfasts. There's two of these, okay? So think traditional, the Walt Disney World character breakfast. You're going to get breakfast in a facility, and, you know, you're getting pictures with characters. One of them is the Jedi Mickey's Star Wars Dine at Hollywood and Vine. So this one looks to me a little more focused towards kids. You'll have Jedi Mickey, you'll have Minnie, Donald as a stormtrooper, Goofy as Darth Vader, Chip and Dale as Ewoks in the Hollywood and Vine. This one comes in two options. One is just to have the breakfast, which for adults is $55.99. For kids, it's $32.99. And on top of that, you can also get the Fantasmic Dinner Package here. That's about $5 more per person. So for the first time, you can see how much they're valuing that Fantasmic package here. Five additional dollars. That doesn't say. If I have little ones, I think that's a pretty cool offering there.
Did you say it was only breakfast, or it was breakfast and another meal?
This is breakfast.
Okay.
It's scheduled as breakfast, and in fact, you could start booking it last week. March the 26th is the first day they were taking reservations, which is in that 60-day window. So they're already taking dinner reservations for this. Now, that one sounds good. It's for the kids. At least it appears to be, because it's Jedi Mickey, right? Now, the other one is the one that I'm really excited about, because this is the one I want to go to. This is the Star Wars Dine-In Galactic Breakfast, okay? It's over at the Dine-In Theater. After you check in, there is a personal meet and greet with Darth Vader. pretty cool. The characters will be Stormtroopers, Jawas, Greedo, Boba Fett, and of course Darth Vader. Now, why I really think this one's cool is they are going to replace the traditional B-roll that runs in the sci-fi dine-in with Star Wars clips, Star Wars trailers, and some music.
Oh, that's cool. I was waiting for you to say that. Excellent.
I like that one a lot because now, I guess my, in thinking about it, being in that restaurant a lot of times, you know, you're sitting in the car watching the movie. As long as you keep the kids on the outside near the characters and they come through the aisle way that's wider than the other, it should be okay to accommodate the characters. I don't know if there's ever been another character breakfast there before.
Pretty cool. But I also like the crossover stuff. You know, the Mickey, the Jedi Mickey, that's cool because you don't get to see him a whole lot. So I can see a market for both.
Well, which one would you go to, Jimmy?
You had a pick.
You know, I'd probably go to the... To the first one, the one with Mickey, the Jedi Mickey, and, you know, because it is tied to Disney still.
Right, right. How about you, Tom?
If I had to choose, I mean, I'll never get the chance to go to Star Wars Weekend.
Well, sure. Either will I, but let's throw it out there.
I would, this one would appeal to me more. I mean, they're seeing actual, as they were in the movies, that's what I think would be the most enjoyable for me, at least.
Right.
Let me throw one more bit of info out there, Ed. The price for the sci-fi dine-in or the Star Wars dine-in, $47.99 for adults and $29.99 for kids, which makes it less expensive than the other.
That's interesting.
I'm going to say it's the food quality. It's driving the price there.
Well, or is it the fact that Hollywood and Vine is set up to be a buffet because it's always a buffet? And sci-fi, I don't think it's going to be a buffet. I think you're going to pick off a menu.
So what's your choice, Ed?
I'd go with the first one. I'd kind of go for the double bang for my buck as far as the Disney characters go and the Star Wars characters. I'm having a hard time figuring out the sci-fi diner one. I mean, the sci-fi diner will be great because it'll be showing Star Wars and these guys will be walking through. The conversation with the characters is going to be very minimal since they're the evil guys and they don't really want to talk to you. At least it's not in their character to want to talk to anybody. So that's going to be an interesting mix. I'm really kind of curious to see how that goes.
Yep.
Now, they do list, and by the way, descriptions are on Disney's website. They do list the second as having the Darth Vader meet and greet and photo opportunity. You also do get a digital download of that picture. So I don't know if Vader's still going to be walking around or if he's just going to be, after you check in, you go get your picture taken with him, similar to Cinderella over at the Royal Table, right?
Or a beast to be our guest, right?
Right.
Right. Yeah,
it's still good.
Good point. He'll probably be walking around, maybe just not to visit tables like the other characters might be.
Right.
I don't know. That's going to be so interesting to see it. I can't wait to hear what people say and how it goes.
I'll do my best to check it out. So that's my Star Wars Weekend update. Three big pieces of news in the last few weeks.
Awesome. Really big news. And I would not be surprised if Mark Hamill somehow gets to be the big.
So James Arnold Taylor is the official host, right? He's there every weekend.
Okay, that's what I was looking for. Now, who is he?
So he is the voice of numerous Clone Wars characters.
Gotcha.
He's also has a one of the things they have there, and this is probably for another show, one of the features back in the premiere theater is what they call it, is the many voices of James Arnold Taylor. He's done things like Fred Flintstone, and the overlays and voices that he's done are amazing. And his show is quite comical for 60 minutes of him doing all of these voices from the Clone Wars to classic cartoons and things. You're like, oh my, he was that voice. That's pretty cool. So he's the official host of the event.
You know, that's interesting. Talking about that, it's interesting because the other day I was reading about when I saw that Mark Hamill was going to be there. I kind of Googled him and looked him up just to see what he's done since. And that's basically what he's done. He's become a voice actor.
He's the Joker from the Batman animated series.
And that's like one of the biggest, that's what he's most popular. Like, as far as his voiceover work, that's what he was most popular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the most prestigious thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Star Wars nerd here. I've been following. Well, thank you very much, Sam, for that Star Wars weekend update. We can't wait to see some of these things happen. Well, now we're ready to continue on with the Disney Nerds March Madness 2014 brackets. As you remember, last time we were together for our brackets, we got down to our Sweet 16. Just to kind of remind everybody where we were, we're going to go over what the games we have planned for this evening are, and then we're going to go ahead and guess them. As we mentioned earlier, we asked you for your help to help us vote for the Sweet 16, and since there's four of us again this week, what we're going to do is use you as our fifth vote. You're going to be our tiebreaker, and I'm so excited to have this working out like this. Thank you so much for showing up and voting on our website. We had so many people come out there, and we couldn't be more happy. So anyway, here are our matchups. In the Bay Lake region, we have the Haunted Mansion versus Buzz Lightyear, and we also have the Rock and Roller Coaster versus Dinosaur. In the Susquehanna River region, we've got the American Adventure versus Kilimanjaro Safaris, and we've got Peter Pan's Flight versus Finding Nemo the Musical. In the World Showcase Lagoon region, we've got the Pirates of the Caribbean versus It's a Small World After All. The second game in that region is Expedition Everest versus Soarin'. I have a feeling that's going to be a close one. In the Crescent Lake region, we've got the Tower of Terror versus Spaceship Earth. And the second game in that region is Star Tours versus Toy Story Mania. Another close one, I think.
Certainly getting tougher here than it was in the first show.
Yeah, very much so. This was a real tough one for me for a lot of the different categories.
Yeah.
Okay, so what we're going to do is, just like last week, we're going to take turns going with each one of these games. One of us will introduce the game, pick his choice and why, and the rest of us are either going to agree or disagree. And then if we're going to disagree with what that person said, we're going to try to give you an idea why we disagreed. And again, don't forget, if we do have a tie, and even if not, we're still going to announce what our listeners voted on. So here we go, and let's start out with that first game in the Bay Lake region, and we're going to go with Tom. So Tom, you have the Haunted Mansion versus Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, this one was, when it's all said and done, was fairly easy. As much as I like Buzz Lightyear, as much as I have fun with it, and it's kind of interactive with the person you're riding with, fighting over steering and shooting. When it's all said and done, I think the Haunted Mansion is it for me. The queue is unbelievable. The technology is really cool. The sound, music is really good. I love the intro to it. Haunted Mansion took it for me.
Same here. Haunted Mansion, no doubt about it.
I also have the Haunted Mansion.
And I also have the Haunted Mansion. Now, Jimmy's going to be our fifth person reader, so he's going to tell us what our friends voted for. So for that game, Jimmy, who was... Who did the listeners vote for?
That one goes to, by like a landslide, 80% the Haunted Mansion.
It is a sweep.
Okay. Now, Jimmy, you're up for their next game. It's the Rock and Roller Coaster versus Dinosaur.
All right. So it's pretty easy for me. This one I'm going to go with the Rock and Roller Coaster. And, you know, I do enjoy the Dinosaur ride. It's something we have to do every time we go. But I think the Rock and Roller Coaster is definitely a better attraction.
I also have the Rock and Roller Coaster.
As do I.
Okay, I'm also Rock and Roller Coaster.
And the fan vote is Rock and Roller Coaster by 78%. So another strong showing.
Excellent, excellent.
Cool. Another sweep.
Rock and Roller Coaster moves on. So we're going to move down in the Susquehanna River region. And this game is for Sam. Sam, you have the American Adventure versus the Kilimanjaro Safaris.
American Adventure and Safari. So if I look at my original bracket, I have to say neither one of these were in the Sweet 16. So I had to go back, sit down again, and go, okay, what am I doing if I'm by myself? Am I going to an American Adventure? I love the pre-show, absolutely. Am I going on the Safari, which is a great little ride? It's more than a little ride, right? It's bigger than the size of the Magic Kingdom. And I love the interaction with the animals. I love that there could be a rhino right in front of the ride at some point, which stops everything. So I am going with Safari, which might seem a little different, but that's my vote.
Okay, well, our first disagreement. I'm going to go with the American Adventure. When I compare these two attractions, it basically comes down to the point that I live about 45 minutes from a Great Flags amusement park that has its own safari outside. So I can actually do this ride whenever I want, and the one they have there is not that bad. Not as good as Disney. Don't get me wrong, there's not as much theming, but again, I could do this pretty much whenever I'd like to during the summer. So American Adventure, with everything it gives us as far as history goes and all its dedication toward America in the World Showcase, takes my vote.
Well, since I can't vote for a 0-0 tie, because I don't think neither one of these should be here, I took Kilimanjaro.
I'm going to go with American Adventure for all the reasons you said, Ed, and, you know, maybe without the Voices of Liberty as the pre-show, maybe it'd go on the other way. But for me, it'd be the American Adventure.
Okay, so it looks like, or am I correct in that's our first tie?
That is a tie.
Excellent. So, Jimmy, what do our friends say?
Unfortunately.
What do you mean, unfortunately?
They went with Kilimanjaro Safari.
Okay, awesome.
And again, by a pretty hefty margin, 78%. So maybe not everybody else sees it our way.
No, but the people have spoken. Excellent. Exactly what we want. Okay, so the next game is going to go to me. It is Peter Pan's Flight versus Finding Nemo the Musical. Now, the first couple rounds, I defended Finding Nemo the Musical a lot, saying it's a great show and it's Broadway bound, and I agree, and I think that's the case. Peter Pan's Flight, for the first couple rounds, I kind of put it down a little bit in that it's a shorter ride and sometimes you have to deal with a little bit of line. However, I'm going with Peter Pan's Flight. I think that the history, really? The history of this attraction, still to me, when I have to compare it to these two, comes out and it makes me go in the direction of Peter Pan's Flight.
I'm going to have to be a dissenter on this one and have to go against you here, Ed. And I'm going to have to say Finding Nemo the Musical. You know, if we use the criteria that it's my last thing to do, the last thing I could ever do in Disney, and I had to pick between these two, is it going to be a Broadway-style show that's going to last 20 minutes or so and really get me involved? Or, you know, and it, like you said, I like Peter Pan's Flight, but it's a four-minute ride, so to me, it's definitely got to be Finding Nemo the Musical.
I went the way of Peter Pan's Flight, although I would love to ride it for the length of time of the musical, but I'll do Peter Pan's Flight.
Right. It'd be like 23 rides, right?
Yeah, easy.
Well, I had Peter Pan's Flight getting crushed in the first round, and I had Finding Nemo in this bracket, on my own personal bracket, so it's Finding Nemo and not even close.
Okay, so we have another tie. Excellent. Jimmy, what do the people say?
Again, the people have spoken out against me.
I
and it's Peter Pan's Flight by 71%. Not as great of a margin as some of the other ones, but Peter Pan's Flight moves on.
Excellent. I'll take that. Okay, we are now into the World Showcase Lagoon region, and the game is for Tom. Tom, your game is the Pirates of the Caribbean versus It's a Small World.
My vote is for the one on the boat. You can't play the classic card in this one because they're both classics.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They even have a catchy song for each of them. So in a lot of ways they're very similar, but in a lot of ways they're very different. So I took the one that appeals for grown-ups like myself more. The one that I think is just more fun. It's all said and done. That's the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me.
I'll just throw a guess that you're voting for Pirates.
Let's do it.
Okay.
That's
very cool. Sam?
I also have Pirates, but I think to Tom's point, when you look at it, not only are these similar, it's the exact same boats, just colored differently. There's so much similarity here. It's incredible. But Pirates.
Okay, and I'm going to agree with everybody else. I go with Pirates also. And Jimmy, what do the people say?
The people say Pirates of the Caribbean, 78%.
Awesome, full sweep. Okay, Pirates move on, and we move to the second game in that region, and this game goes to Jimmy. Jimmy, this time we have Expedition Everest versus Soarin'.
Man, this is a really, really, really tough one. I'm going to have to go Soarin'. You know what? I don't know why. I don't know why I'd pick one over the other. They're that close to me. I mean, it's almost a coin flip. I enjoy both of them so much. They're both in my top five of Disney attractions. I really can't even tell you why, but I'm going to go Soarin'. If you ask me tomorrow, it may be Expedition Everest.
No, I'm glad we're asking tonight.
I also have Soarin', and I'll tell you what did it for me. It's the soundtrack. I really love that soundtrack in Soarin'. It's something that sticks with me. You can listen to it, back at home and close your eyes and know exactly the spot that you're in that attraction. That's why it's Soarin' for me, the soundtrack.
I am a big Expedition Everest guy. The queue is unbelievable. I could spend hours just even before I even get on the ride and feel satisfied with Expedition Everest. Soarin' to me is not all that enjoyable unless you're in the front row. I don't enjoy seeing people's feet in my face. The soundtrack is great, but there's only one place to sit in Soarin' for me to be enjoyable, and that's the front row. Expedition Everest, I can be in the front, middle, or back, get the same experience, and I think, as I said, the queue in itself is unbelievable.
Okay, and I am going to actually also go with Expedition Everest. I'm casting this as a protest vote, and until they fix the Soarin' film, so there's no white little squigglies going on, pops, and different issues, that I will vote for the other attraction. So, Expedition Everest.
So, you wouldn't... Okay. So I can make the same argument there, just so you know, that until they fix the Yeti and Expedition Everest, because it's been broken since about 6 months since they built it.
Yeah, but I do the editing, so you can say whatever you want.
I'm just saying, I can make that argument. You know, Expedition Everest has been broken like since it opened.
True, very true. But what do the people say?
People say Expedition Everest by one. You know what? Let me refresh the page because it's by one vote. So let's make sure no last minute votes came in. No, still looks like it's Expedition Everest. 21 votes to 20, so it's 51%.
51% to 49%.
Very close.
Everest moves on. So let's hope, you know, that the rumors of the filming of the new flyover over at Disneyland for a new version of Soarin' means a digital distribution there, Ed, and we can get rid of those snaps and cracks. And that's also why I said the soundtrack is what I like.
Right, and I totally agree. And that'll mean an extra vote for me next year for it. Okay, yeah. Excellent. Moving on to the next region. We are now in the Crescent Lake region, and I believe this one is Sam's. Sam, you have the Tower of Terror versus Spaceship Earth.
So Tower of Terror and Spaceship Earth. Now remember, one of the criterias for this was the way the attractions are as of March 2014, because I absolutely love Spaceship Earth. I think it's a great attraction. I love previous versions way more than I do the current version. I think the current version is great if you're on it for the first time and you get to do the touch screen and do the fun stuff as you come down the backside. But I like the older versions better. That and the fact that Tower of Terror, with its randomness of going up and down and not really knowing what's coming next, I like that a lot. I'm going with Tower of Terror.
I concur.
Yep, since the travesty of Space Mountain getting booted, Tower of Terror is my favorite Disney ride that's left, so that it was an easy one for me.
Okay, Tower of Terror here also.
And that goes as well for the fans with 56% of the vote.
56? That's a little closer than I expected.
Yeah, 23 votes to 18. Yep, believe it or not.
Wow.
Tower of Terror moves on.
Okay, very good. Very good. And now our last game in our Sweet 16 goes to myself. We have Star Tours versus Toy Story Mania. And I got to tell you, this was probably the toughest one for me because I really enjoy Toy Story Mania. I love how that, once you get on the ride, it's a really cool game and it's so easy to change it out. I could definitely see this ride changing in a couple years again, just like it did a couple years ago. However, I am really a Star Wars nerd at heart, and that'll never change. Star Tours for me.
I had Toy Story getting booted in the first round, so I got Star Tours.
I also have Star Tours here, although I will tell you this is probably one of the toughest decisions in this round. I love Toy Story Mania, but Let me say that I love Toy Story Mania better when I'm sitting with somebody that knows what they're doing.
True.
And what I mean by that is you need two people to be able to unlock the Easter eggs and get to the big points. You just can't pull it off by yourself. So if I'm by myself, it's not the ride I'm going to go on. Because I've tried it before and you just can't get the score that you know you can get with somebody else. So for me, it's Star Tours. And the fact that we just spent 20 minutes talking about it at the beginning of the show.
So. Right.
Okay, Jimmy.
I'm going to go with Star Tours for all the previous reasons stated.
Okay, excellent. And what did the people say for this one?
They also went with Star Tours, so it is a sweep, but it was only about 52%, 22 votes to 20.
52 to 48, that's close.
Yeah, well, yep. I expected it for this one.
Yep.
Okay, well, great. Made it through our next round. And for this round, since there's the four of us, we're going to use our friends who are live on Facebook as we're recording, in case we have any ties that come up. So, here we go into the next round. The first game is going to belong to Tom. Tom, you have the Haunted Mansion and the Rock and Roller Coaster.
I'm a roller coaster guy at heart. I love roller coasters. I love fast roller coasters, and I like roller coasters that go upside down. Rock and Roller Coaster offers all of that.
I also have the Rock and Roller Coaster over the Haunted Mansion. As much as I love the mansion, I'm going to get on the Rock and Roller Coaster just to get that adrenaline rush before I leave the parks.
I'm going to have to go Haunted Mansion. Haunted Mansion is probably, way up there on my list of favorite things to do at Walt Disney World. I'm a huge Haunted Mansion fan. We have some artwork and stuff in the house from Haunted Mansion, so it's classic Disney attraction. So for me, it's Haunted Mansion.
I am also going to go with Haunted Mansion for the reasons Jimmy mentioned, pretty much. So we have a tie already.
Trying to get to that first final four.
Yeah,
of the four, we're tied.
We knew it was going to be tough. So, Jimmy, put that on Facebook, and we're going to continue on to the next game, and then we'll come back with who our tiebreaker gives us. The next game is for Sam, and it is the Safari, the Kilimanjaro Safari, versus Peter Pan's Flight.
They keep getting tougher, but that's why the brackets just keep getting harder and harder. All the stuff I said about Safari last time absolutely rings true. But Peter Pan, yeah, I'm going on Peter Pan if it's that last trip. Just the nostalgia, being right there in the middle of Fantasyland and off to Neverland and the reversed force perspective, it is Peter Pan's Flight for me.
I agree with basically what Sam was saying there, so I'm going with Peter Pan's Flight.
With this one, I didn't have any. Both these were first-round knockouts for me.
Lesser of two evils.
Peter Pan's Flight, I guess. I don't.
All right, so for me, I'd have to go with Peter Pan as well.
Cool. Sweet.
And the vote is in for Rock and Roller Coaster versus Haunted Mansion. Thank you, Carolyn Como-Zwicker, for voting for the Haunted Mansion. So Haunted Mansion moves on.
Excellent. So we're now with two of our final four teams, with the Haunted Mansion and Peter Pan's Flight.
A Magic Kingdom matchup there. Then think of how close those attractions are physically. Wow.
Absolutely.
I think this might continue. There. I think this might continue. We will see. The next game is for Jimmy, and it is coming out of the World Showcase Lagoon region with Pirates of the Caribbean versus Expedition Everest.
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I'm going to have to go Pirates of the Caribbean, pretty much for the same reasons I went with Haunted Mansion. It's just, classic Disney. I enjoy Expedition Everest. It's a great roller coaster. It's a lot of good theming, but, Pirates of the Caribbean is just classic Disney and inspired four movies, which then re-inspired the ride. So Pirates of the Caribbean for me.
Ooh, I got to think of this one because I had Soarin' coming out of this, but Soarin' was upset by Expedition Everest. So it's Everest versus Pirates. I'm going with Expedition Everest. I want that adrenaline rush right before I head out of the park. I'm going to go that direction. One to one.
Oh, this is Expedition Everest again all the way for me. I love that ride. As much like Pirates, it fails in comparison to Expedition for me.
I'm going to go with Pirates. Pirates of the Caribbean is probably one of my favorite rides to begin with, but when compared to Expedition Everest, I think you just get so much more for your buck in Pirates, from the entire queue throughout the ride itself And then just to tie it in with the movie is just so incredible. So Pirates for me.
I just want to add one thing to that is I think the first experience on Expedition Everest, if you could relive that first experience, maybe that edges it out for me. But once you've been on it and you've been on it over and over, it kind of loses its luster a little bit. And I still love it, but you kind of know what's going to happen. So it's, you know, Pirates never, to me, it never loses it. So that's just my thoughts, I guess.
Okay, cool. Well, it sounds like we have another tie. So let's send this out to our friends on our Facebook page. And while we wait for a result from that, we'll move on to our next game, which is the final game in the Crescent Lake region, and it's going to be for me. We have the Tower of Terror versus Star Tours. And you've heard all our reasons for both of these attractions, so I'm not going to extend this one out. I'm selecting Star Tours. Still my favorite, and if it's going to be the last ride I go on before I leave that park or before I leave the parks in general for the year, forever, it's going to be Star Tours.
As I said before, Tower of Terror is my favorite ride that's still left in this tournament, so that's going to be whatever comes up against for me, so Tower of Terror.
I'm with Ed down at Star Tours because you don't know what that last ride's going to be. Just that simple element of not knowing where you're headed, although I think I've seen all the different segments. It's Star Tours.
I'm going to go with Tower of Terror for the same reason that Sam just said, for Star Tours, because when I get on it, I don't know what that last ride is going to be.
Very true both ways. You're right, guys.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so we're going to put this game out on our Facebook page also to get some help from our friends and to break the tie.
All right, Ed, the vote is in for tie number two, Pirates of the Caribbean versus Expedition Everest. Thank you, Brett Baudouin. And it is Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, boy.
Awesome. Moving on. While we're waiting for the last vote to come in for our tiebreaker for that last game, let's review the games we already have. In the Bay Lake region, the final team or attraction coming out of that region is Haunted Mansion. They're going to be playing up against Peter Pan's Flight coming out of the Susquehanna River region. And, as you just heard, Pirates has won it over Expedition Everest in the World Showcase Lagoon, and they're going to be up against the next attraction we get tiebreakers from our Facebook friends.
The tiebreaker is in for Star Tours versus Tower of Terror, and it is Star Tours. Thanks, Brett Baudouin, again.
Okay, well, awesome. Well, thank you very much for all your help out there, and we are down to our final four. So we're going to go over these last two games. We'll come up with our final two teams, and then we're going to post this on our website at the same address you went to vote for our Sweet 16. And we're hoping that y'all will take the chance to get out there, and then on next week's show, we'll announce what our final winner is. So for the first game, we have the Haunted Mansion versus Peter Pan's Flight. And we're going to go with Sam for that game.
Two absolutely wonderful Magic Kingdom attractions that have to be less than 100 yards away from each other physically. So you could literally see being standing right between these two attractions and having the choice of no line, which one are you going to go and ride? It's a pretty realistic experience if you're there very late on an extra magic evening. So you might be in this spot one day. If I'm in the spot, I'm going over to the Haunted Mansion. The classicness of the attraction versus Peter Pan. I know they're both classics, but I love the Haunted Mansion, the story behind it, all of the details in there. Haunted Mansion.
I agree also. For the same reasons, I'm going with the Haunted Mansion.
I agree.
Just because I want Peter Pan to finally be eliminated, I am going to Haunted Mansion.
Okay, Haunted Mansion makes it into our final game with a sweep. And we're moving on to our last game, Pirates of the Caribbean versus Star Tours, The Adventure Continues. Tom, you have this game.
Just because everything I've liked in this entire side of the thing is gone, this is hard for me. I didn't want either one of these to be here. So I'm going to pull out my classic attraction card and vote for Pirates of the Caribbean.
Star Tours, baby. I'm headed over to studios and riding Star Tours. Love it.
Okay, I am going Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm going to go with the classic ride. If I had to choose, that'd be me, Pirates of the Caribbean.
This is probably one of the toughest choices, I think, of any two attractions for me at the parks. I've always maintained that Pirates of the Caribbean is my favorite attraction. It's got everything going for it, from the history of the ride to how cool it is in every manner. Star Tours, after they did the redo, I got to say the same exact thing. It's so incredible. It brings back so many great memories of just growing up with the Star Wars franchise as a kid and through my older years with the other movies and such. I'm going with Star Tours.
Lordy B. All right.
We have a tie.
Another tie.
Okay, so we're going to throw this tie out to our friends on Facebook. The first person who responds back with their selection is going to make our choice for the final team in the final game of the Disney Nerds March Madness 2014 attraction brackets. So as fast as Jimmy types, we're going to find out an answer.
All right, guys, the vote is in. Thank you, Brett Beaudoin, for getting Pirates of the Caribbean into the final. And he says, it's a classic. And it is.
Right. Thanks, Brett. I really appreciate that. I so much wanted to vote for Pirates, and I so much wanted to vote for Star Tours, so you saved me, because I voted for the attraction I really wanted, and you still got the attraction I could have voted for in there, so thank you very much for that vote. So, our final game is going to be the Haunted Mansion versus the Pirates of the Caribbean, a Magic Kingdom showdown. We're going to have our website modified to have this final question out there, the final poll to pick your favorite team attraction at Walt Disney World, and I really hope, and we all do, that you have a chance to get out there, vote for us. If you can vote from different computers, go for it. Vote as many times as you like.
That doesn't mean you, Sam. You can't vote as many times as you like.
Now, hold on a second. You know what's going to be interesting here is pulling out my original bracket and taking a look at this final four and the final matchup, because I don't know that I have a lot of them here. I know Mansion and Pirates did not make my final championship game, so it'll be interesting to compare Final Fours in the next show, too.
Well, yeah, that's what we'll do. Next show, we're going to actually kind of talk about our original brackets, and we'll definitely announce who the winner is for the 2014 Disney Nerds March Madness brackets. Again, thank you, everybody, on Facebook tonight for helping us out. We truly appreciate it. Without you guys, we really couldn't do this show, and tonight kind of proved that point pretty well. So that's it for this week. We really appreciate you listening to the show. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. Go to our Facebook page, The Disney Nerds Podcast, or The Disney Nerds Group. Either one we pay attention to a lot. You can stop by our website, thedisneynerds.com, and then check up on any of the latest information out there.
This is Jimmy signing off. Have a good day.
And Sam from Sam's Disney Diary saying, we'll see you next time.
This is Tom. You guys have a great one.
We'll see everybody next week. And thanks for listening. Kungaloosh.